Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
So I'm going to invite you to trauma bond with me really quick. I want you to look back at your life and tell me, as you survey the many years you've been alive, what is the most insecure you've ever felt in your life? Middle school. I think all of us, I don't think there's a time worse on so many levels than middle school. And I was thinking through that question for myself, and this memory hit me back that had been like repressed for decades. But I was thinking about how, like, middle school, like, everything was out of proportion. I had the braces. You know, I was not the smoothest cat. And there was this one girl that I knew that I was only, like, 12, and there was nothing I could do about it, but I was interested, whatever that means. And so, you know, I knew that she was in the, like, there was, like, a choir that met at the school before class would begin at my public school. Did anyone have anything like that where it's like you could go early and like be on some singing thing and maybe they'd have a concert a couple times a year? And so I knew that this girl was at it, and I was just like, I'm like, Mom, I think I want to join the choir. And so I end up at like 7 a.m. I wake up early. I'm up like looking in the mirror before school that day. Like really, I had like the spiky hair, and I'm just like that for like 15 minutes. And I like get to school and my heart's beating a little bit, but you know, we get in there and I didn't realize like what kind of thing this was. So it begins, everybody sing together. But then the teacher like goes, okay, so now we're all gonna like sing our parts individually. So we're gonna start with you and we're gonna go around clockwise. And now I'm just like standing there. My legs are shaking. I'm like, I didn't know I was stepping into a solo here in front of the girl, in front of everybody. And so it's going around, and like people are not like good singers. So I'm just kind of like, all right, maybe like I just, as long as I'm not the worst, like I'm not going to try to do too much. Let me just try to like slide in with something low key here, nonchalant. And so it gets to me, and I literally remember feeling everybody was looking at me, and I had a smile that started spazzing. Like it went from like I was trying to smile, but it wouldn't stay. And it was like dropping. I'm sure I looked like it was nuts. I've never felt like anything like that since in my entire life. And I go to sing and I like full happy feet it. It's like, ah! And like everybody was dying. And I like my face is like blood red. And this kid goes, look how red his face is. And I literally, like it went a couple people past me, and I, like, couldn't even breathe. I'm, like, hyperventilating. I walk out the class, never went back. And I remember I was just, like, walking through the hallway 30 minutes before school was even going to begin. Just, like, I should have never been born. This is all a mistake. Oh, my gosh. Do you have anything like that? We got a couple people here with something like that. That feeling of insecurity, it's like maybe you don't believe this. Like I remember growing up, you know, my mom would be like, everybody struggles with insecurity, and I'd just be like, nah. Like you just see certain people where you didn't believe that they would struggle with something like that. Maybe you just felt like an exception. You're struggling, you have all of these fears and anxieties and self-image stuff or whatever. But something that I've learned, even being in the position that I'm in, talking with so many people, like insecurity is such a universal thing in all people, the different ways that it manifests and plays in our hearts. And it is like one of the driving factors in how we live. Like often where we are insecure is what we are then living out of and what we are living to preserve and protect. It's like what drives insecurity in our life? A lot of times it is looking at our performance, feeling like we're not doing good enough, which then can make us look at ourselves and be like, I'm not good enough. And that means I'm not good enough to get the kind of life that I hope I can live, the kind of life that would be good. I'm not good enough to achieve. Insecurity can come from looking at the outcomes and circumstances of your life and just being like, this isn't going in a good direction. I'm at the mercy of circumstances and people that are coming against me getting what I need. My life is not going in a good direction. So I am living in fear that I don't have what I need and life isn't going in a good direction and I'm not enough and this is just bad. And now I'm acting out of that to try to control and fix what's wrong about my life. Everybody in different areas of our life, we struggle with insecurity. And just to start tonight, this is the bottom line. There is no real cure and solution to the insecurity in your heart other than Jesus. Where we look at our circumstances, where we look at things about ourselves that we try to change, you can look up WikiHows on how to be more charismatic or lovable or whatever. You could try to devote yourself to being successful, work harder, get to some place, fix the things that are seemingly out of control. No matter what you do, there is no lasting solution to the insecurity of our souls that we can find here. The solution to the insecurity that we have, where we try to find here, it cannot last. It's like the way life works, how crazy our lives are, how crazy the world is. It's like when we put our security and our identity in what we think we're good at, it's like that can end in a moment. You could lose it tomorrow and then the house crumbles. When you put your security in the money you have in your bank account or the relationship that you have, it's like all of these things in life in a moment can be gone. You could get in a car accident tomorrow. You could have a global pandemic and you lose all the money and all. There's endless things that can happen that can, when you begin to look at, make you realize the things that I put my security in this life, that I'm trying to find security from, they are so fragile. They could be lost in a moment. And so that's why there is a security and a love and a assurance that we can walk in that has nothing to do with our circumstances, nothing to do with how people are treating us, nothing to do with who we even think we are, how good we think we are. There's an assurance and a security that comes from Jesus. And that is the only one that actually works. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus in that way, Jesus is the peace and security and identity that will bring your soul rest. But for a lot of us here, you are a Christian, but that doesn't mean just because you're in Jesus that automatically that problem of insecurity is just fixed instantly. You can be a Christian, but as you're going through life, as you fall, as things are hitting the wall, as people are coming against you, as your house burns down, as your money now, your account is drained. It's like you look at all of this stuff and you start looking at your life and you're like, okay, God at one point felt so real and good and enough for all of these things that I have on my plate right now. He feels a lot less real and present and good and enough. Where once I was so settled, like he's good and that's all I need. Now I'm going through life and my heart is more apathetic to that. It's like, okay, I could say that in my mind, but that's not the conviction that is controlling how I'm living day to day. I'm living, even though I'm in Christ and I say like, yeah, I believe he loves me and I believe all this stuff, I'm living with an insecurity in the day to day. Has anyone ever been in a place in your faith where you're just feeling shaky? You know all of the right things in your mind, but there's just a shakiness to your walk. What I want to talk about tonight is what is the solution to that shakiness? Okay, Jesus is that security, but how do I actually get that security? If being a Christian doesn't solve the insecurity for the rest of my life, then how do I live in the security that he wants to bring me day by day? So today, what we're going to look at, this is a really interesting theme from the Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament. I think it has such a beautiful, profound truth. It's going to take a little explaining, so lock in. It's going to be, I believe, really good. And let me just pray really quick before we continue. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that what we are speaking about right now is a universal need in our hearts. All of us need the security that you have come to bring. We need to not just know about it or have it in moments. We need to live in it. And so I pray today, God, through what we're about to share, speak to our hearts, convict us, help us to see what we have in you, and help us to leave here now walking in a new walk, walking with the assurance and security that you have promised us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to put up the story of Exodus, and this is just for context, like what's happening here. We have God making this covenant with Abraham. Your descendants are the chosen people. I will be faithfully committed to them forever. And I'm going to lead you into this land. It's going to be amazing. All the needs that you have, I will provide for. And so we see this progression, but eventually they end up in Egypt. They're in slavery. They're crying out to God. And so God raises up Moses to come take them out. And he sends him with this message saying, I'm going to deliver you from this slavery, which it seems there is no way out of. You are under the greatest power in the world. And every circumstance, there's no way out of this, but I love you and I'm coming to set you free and deliver you from this. And so not only am I gonna do that, I'm gonna see through the promise that I made from the beginning to Abraham. You're gonna go from being a person enslaved with nothing to being an heiress, like living like kings in this promised land with everything you could possibly need. And I promise you, I'm gonna see you through to this, the other side of it. So God, through Moses' leading, gets them. They get out of Egypt, miracle after miracle. They get to the sea, it splits, walk through. They are now in the wilderness, wandering. Water begins to come from rocks. Meat and like bread is falling from the sky. God is providing for every need in the most miraculous, beautiful ways. But there's still challenges and they're still in a desert. And so God calls Moses up to this mountain where he establishes his covenant. And he says, if you guys, keep this stuff and are faithful to me, you're going to be seen through the promised land. It's going to be beautiful. Everything you need is going to be met. And so he is up. He gets these 10 commandments. They make the terms of the covenant. But while he's up there, the Israelites now at the bottom of the mountain start looking at just being in the desert. And even though all these miracles happened, even though God did this amazing stuff, they begin to just say like, we don't like being in the desert. This is actually horrible. Like, we are kind of done with this God. Let's make another God. Like, we're done serving this God. And so literally while Moses is up getting the 10 commandments down low, they're melting all of their gold and making idols. And they begin to start doing the most vile, horrible things, worshiping this idol. And so he comes down and he's like, what just happened? And they have to clean house and they have to like burn the idols that they made. And so now Moses is just like, oh my goodness, like, we were walking with God. He had led us out. He'd done all these miracles. But now, like, have we disqualified ourselves from him? Like, is he actually still with us? And in this place of seeing where he was, where his people were, there was an insecurity that Moses began to feel of, okay, God is now telling us to go into this promised land, but I'm not entirely convinced anymore that he's actually with us. He's telling us to do this, but part of me feels like maybe we've disqualified ourselves. Maybe he's saying one thing, but his actions are gonna end up being something else. How can I know that God is actually gonna be with me in this? And so that's where we pick up in the story. And the last thing before this, it was saying in the verses leading into this that Moses had been, as the representative for the people, coming into the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and there he was with God face to face. That's an important point. It doesn't mean he was literally face-to-face with God. What that term is, it's an idiom, which ultimately means just in an intimate, close place of communication. Like, they were close and talking and in this incredible nearness that really nobody else had ever enjoyed with God. So even in that, he was like with God and had this nearness and closeness, but there was still something in his heart where there was an insecurity that he felt. So from there, it says, one day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me, I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so that I might understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. And he said, how will anyone know that you look favorably on me and your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. The Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you asked for. for I look favorably on you and I know you by name. So he keeps insisting, God, I just need to know you're going with me. And God is like, I'm going with you. And he's like, yeah, but I need to know. There's a deeper knowing that I need. It's like, I know, but it's still not enough. I need more. And so God says, I'm going to be with you. He's like, yeah, but are you going to be with me? I'm going to be with you. And then from there, he says this. Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. So we could pause there for a second. First, he was saying, I want to know your ways. He's like, I want to know you're really with me. He's like, I'm going to be with you. He's like, no, there's something deeper. I need more. I need more than that. And then finally, it culminates with him saying, show me your glory. It's like, what does that mean? Up until then, everybody could know God by what he had done, right? He had done miracle after miracle. He had proven that he loves them. He had proven that he is with them. But Moses was hungering for something deeper. He didn't want to just look at what God had done for him. He wanted to see God and who God was to himself. He says, show me your glory. What does that mean? He's saying, I don't want to just know about what you've done or what you've promised to do. I want to see you. What is the glory of God? This is one of the most loaded, hard to completely understand words in the Bible. What it means, literally translated, is it's the weight of God. The glory of God is the full essence and picture of the goodness and holiness and power of God. And so Moses, looking at this insecurity that he has, looking at these battles ahead, he says, okay, I hear you're going to be with me, but I need something deeper. I need to see you. I just want to like experience who you are. I don't want to just hear things about you. I want to know you and have this intimacy with you. My soul is hungering for experience of your glory. So you look at that and you might think like God would just be like, what are you doing? Like, I've already done all of these things for you. I've told you twice I'm going to be with you. Like, stop. Just go now. Trust me. Move forward. But interestingly in this, God looks at Moses and he doesn't kick back. He doesn't say, you have little faith. God wants to be known by Moses. God wants to be experienced. He wants the fullness of his glory to not just be something that Moses hears about. He's inviting in this moment now Moses into an experience of who he really is. And to that, God says this, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name Yahweh before you. For I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. But you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live. The Lord continued, look, stand near me on this rock. As my glorious presence passes by, I will hide you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and let you see me from behind, but my face will not be seen. So what does that all mean? So what God is saying to him in this is, I want you to experience me. I want you to have an encounter with me that settles the insecurity of your heart. But here's the issue. You can't actually see my face and live. Not because if you see my face, I'm going to get mad and kill you. But because you are a sinful man and I am so holy and pure and beautiful. It's like the holiness of God is like an infinite amount of suns. That anything that is not holy that comes into his presence burns up. And so God is saying, I want you to have this experience with me, but the only way that I'm even gonna be able to do this is by covering you and coming from behind. And that will still be this transformative experience, but it has to be controlled and you can only get this little piece. And so what happens? God calls Moses back up to this mountain, that rocket was saying. He does that. He puts him in this place and Moses expectantly is watching. He's waiting, and now this moment comes, and this experience of the glory of God comes and passes him. And in this moment, his entire world is flipped upside down. He falls on his face. He begins to worship God. His understanding of, like, what is life really about completely altars. It's like, up until then, he had encountered God. He had had experiences with God. He'd seen miracles, but he had never been brought to his face like this moment when he encounters the glory of God. And so from there, what ends up happening? He is in God's presence. He's undone, but in his presence, he's transformed. He comes from this mountain and begins to walk down where he was going up with this insecurity. He's coming down now with this clarity and faith and settledness. He's on a mission. He knows who God is to him. He sees this glorious God who I've experienced. I've seen his goodness. He's shown me who he is to me. So whatever that insecurity is, it's gone. And then he goes down to the people. And even deeper than this internal change that happened, there is a physical transformation that even happens. We'll put up just these next verses really quick. And stick with me. I know this is a little interesting to try to figure out, but it's going to come together beautifully. So it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying these two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. Then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them the instructions of the Lord that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him. And the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. So what this is saying is, he's in the presence of God. He encounters God in this way. And what ends up happening is there's this internal change. But his face, this glorious radiance that his face encounters, now fills his face. And as he comes down the mountain, people see him. And in the same way that he says, you can't see my face and live, people, like, they can't even look at Moses' face. The reflection of God's glory on Moses' face was too much for these sinful people to handle. So he came out of the presence of God, out of the glory of God, with this assurance, with insecurity burned away, and with this transformation even in his body. The solution to Moses' insecurity was an experience of the glory of God. God was not mad at him for wanting more. He was pleased that Moses was hungry for more than just living a life, going through the motions, having cold truths in his mind that he's kind of trying to live by that aren't alive and burning in his heart. He says, I want you to know the real thing. I want you to be so settled and secured by my goodness to you, the goodness of my glory. So come and experience me. So when we look at that, that was just Moses. Only one person was able to come into the presence of God and encounter that glory. And that insecurity was burned away, that transformation came, but even the people there, they didn't have access to that same kind of glory. They couldn't even look at Moses' face. And so Paul, highlighting this story, looking back at it, now points us to what this means when we look at this story through the lens of Jesus. Let's put up these next verses. Actually, let's put up the next ones after this. So Paul was dealing with people coming to the church and saying, no, enough with this kind of Jesus stuff. Like, we have to keep on talking about this old covenant, the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down. And so Paul is looking and saying, you think that was glorious? Let me tell you who Jesus really is to you. So he says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in the letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. Transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. There is no insecurity in our hearts. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. So let's just pause there really quick. Now Paul switches it a little bit. He says that all of our minds are kind of like this picture of having a veil over our face. All of us, apart from Jesus, it's like here is the glorious transforming presence of God. But I have this covering over my face that stops me from being able to look at the thing that changes me. I have a veil. So no matter how hard I try, no matter how good of a person I try to be, no matter how hard I pray, if I try to get to God so he can transform me and I can find the security and transformation, I can't. This veil is covering my face. There is a separation between his glory and my eyes. But this next verse says this. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. Next. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom to now come to the glorious presence of God. Next. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And put up that last verse really quick from chapter 4. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So what this is ultimately saying, and this is where it's all going to come together, I hope you've tracked until now. In this old covenant, only Moses had access to this glorious presence that could bring this security and assurance and boldness and transformation. And even he only had this backside view of God because of his sin. Like, he had some special access, but even that access was so limited. What Paul is saying is, although that was beautiful that he was able to experience that, you guys are trying to make that like the main thing we should focus on. Paul is like, no, do you not realize that because of what Jesus has come to now do for you, where before it was only Moses able to look at the backside of God, now this veil has been lifted. If you've turned to Jesus, the face of God is looking right at you. The fullness of the glory of God in the face of Jesus is no longer hidden. It's not like God is over here and you can just get this little glimpse. The full thing, full access, full beholding of the face filled with glory, which transforms you, is yours. There's no veil. There's no disqualification. It's like, it's yours. You can look to the face that now brings absolute assurance, absolute security, transformation over your sin. This face is now yours. The Christian life is a life of daily beholding the face of Jesus. Daily looking into this glorious face, which settles us and transforms us. In the Old Testament, this transformative experience that Moses had, encountering this glory which settled him, that's not a transformative experience just for certain mountaintop moments in your life. That transformative experience is available to you in your bedroom every day because you were in Christ Jesus. You have full access to the glorious face which changes everything. But what does it mean to look into that glorious face? What does it mean to look at Jesus? If that's what changes everything, if that's what brings security, how do I do it? Some people will tell you, which this is true, but I think it's a partial truth. Well, it's just open the Bible and see who Jesus is and try to copy it and try to just walk through life based on those principles. The first thing is this. You can't see the face of Jesus, number one, apart from the Bible. The Bible reveals who Jesus is. It reveals his promises. It reveals his love, his nature. But this is the thing. The Bible is not just a description of who Jesus is that we're just supposed to observe and then go through life based on what we learned from those observations. The Bible shows us who Jesus is to you right now. The Bible is the promise of the goodness of God. The Bible shows all, when Moses like, show me your glory, and Jesus, or God was like, my goodness is gonna pass before your face. Through the Bible, we see the goodness of God to every need and circumstance that you're facing. It's not hypothetical, it's not just good arguments or good principles. It is the truth of relationally who God is wanting to be to you right now. So apart from seeing in the Bible who Jesus is, I can't behold him. I don't make my own version of Jesus. I don't listen to what the culture says Jesus is. Jesus has shown me who he is through his word. But beholding him is not just reading the word. You can read the word and behold nothing. You could just read the word and your heart remain cold and shut down and you didn't really look at his face. I love this definition of faith by A.W. Tozer. He said, faith is the continual gaze of the soul on our saving God. Beholding Jesus, beholding his glorious face, which transforms us, is us looking, not just in our eyes at pages on a word, but with our heart at who he has promised to be to us. He's shown you who he is in his word. He's given you these promises, but just knowing them in your mind is not beholding him. In your heart, in the eyes of your heart, fixing your eyes on who he has promised to be to your need, on who he's promised to be to your insecurity, on your weakness, on your fears. It's through fixing the eyes of your heart on who he's promised to be that this beholding and looking at his face truly happens. What does that tell us about beholding and looking to his face? It's something that isn't just a mental exercise. It's relational. It takes time. It's like how many of us know you can think about these truths, but if you don't sit with them and let your heart be filled with them and delight in these truths of who Jesus is to you, as he's shown you his goodness and his face, when you just look at his face and you see who he is to your need and you take time and you delight in him, you're like, God, I'm going through this, but this is who you've promised to be to me. I have this thing that I'm so overwhelmed by and I'm struggling with, but I'm gonna just sit with you because you're telling me this is what you're gonna do. This is who you're gonna be. It's like, you can't just do that in a second. The security that you walk in with God is proportionate to the time spent beholding his face. You might know these things in your mind, but if you're not beholding them in your heart remains cold and hard. What softens our hearts, what makes this thing real, what gets it from here to here is not just looking at it at words, but taking time, drawing near in faith and saying, God, this is my need, but this is who you're saying you are. I trust you. I thank you. I delight in you. Thank you that this is who you are to me. And as you do that, you see this assurance and strengthening. In those moments, you are looking into the face of Christ. You're looking to who he is, to what you're facing. And then you watch as this boldness and freedom comes. Who wants more of that in your life today? When we look at our life, the solution to just monotonous, going through the motions, checklist Christianity is beholding the face of Jesus daily. How beautiful is that? That he's saying, what Moses had isn't even close to what you have access to. The glory that I'm inviting you to come and know as you just look at my face and see who I am, the promises you have over who I am to you are far greater than what Moses had. The access that you have to me, where before Moses can only get a part of me because of his sin, but you've been forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Nothing separates you from me. So come to the secret place. Come meet me. Come be with me. And as you behold my face, watch your soul strengthened and fortified. The other side of it is this, and we're gonna close in a second. So we find assurance, confidence over our insecurities about ourselves, about our lives in the presence of God. As I see who his goodness is to my life, it silences fear. It silences insecurity, doubt. It all just burns away. But the second thing is this. Moses comes down and he has this radiance. He's been transformed physically. What Paul says in this is that as you draw near, behold his face, see who he is to your need, spend time just looking to him. Not only are you gonna have assurance come into your soul, but I'm going to transform you. that I'm not just giving you principles to try your best to follow. As you come and look to me, my glory is going to fill you and my glory is going to begin to start working through you and you're going to be transformed. A lot of us, when we think of the insecurity that we're facing in life, what we want is God to fix something. We want God to change the people around us who are making our life miserable. We want God to bring security, give us the apartment, give us money in the bank account, help us with our health situation, help us to become more confident or love ourselves or whatever. It's like when I think of like, God, I feel insecure and now I'm asking you to change my circumstances so that I'm less insecure. But can I tell you what we often do as Christians? We look to his hand to change our circumstance instead of looking to his face to change our hearts. I look at what he could do for me instead of what he wants to do in me. The biggest thing that is going to change in your life is not your circumstances coming into this perfect place so that you have no worries anymore. Life is going to be filled with battles. Life is filled with challenges. If you're looking for a security and a peace that's dependent on everything in your life working out, then you're going to be miserable. You're going to be constantly frustrated with God because he's not doing exactly what you're telling him he should be doing. But maybe he's more committed to changing your heart than your circumstances. Maybe the reason why he's allowed you to remain in the place that you are, with your back against the wall, with the difficult people, with the constant rejection or whatever it might be, is because he's trying to help you see that the solution is not in your circumstance changing. Stop looking at my hand to change what's happening around you. Look to my face so that your heart can transform. And then although your circumstances hasn't changed, you have a security. You have this transformed heart. You're not constantly rubbing up against everything that's hard in your life and living miserable. It's like in the middle of storms, in the middle of hard things, you are whole and you have peace. A lot of us don't want that. A lot of us are just still saying, but God, change this. I'm done with this. When are you going to do this? Are you good? If you're good, then you're going to change this thing I don't like about my life. And God is looking at you and saying, I love you so much that I'm not going to change your circumstance yet because I want to change your heart. And instead of looking to my hand for the power of how I can change your circumstance, look to my face. Look to my goodness. Because as you see my goodness, who I am to you, who I've promised to be to you, then you can look at your circumstances and say, I'm good. Like, God, you're going to be faithful. You're going to change those. But until then, I'm looking at your face and everything has reordered. What felt so big, the giants in the land, the reason why Moses felt insecurity, he's looking at these giants. He's looking at all of these needs. And he's like, how are these going to get met? He sees the glory of God and instantly recalibrated. It's like, okay, God, you're with me. God, I have everything I need. All right, Lord, we're going now. God wants to do that in your heart tonight. He wants you to see, where are you stubbornly demanding that he moves his hand, but you refuse to look to his face, to who he is, to your need? Before Jesus transforms your circumstance, which he is, he's going to work all things together for good, but he's wanting to work in your heart so that you can live this life daily, coming into this place, looking, not living, just looking, walking by sight, everything's wrong, but looking to Jesus and saying, it doesn't matter, I have everything I need and you're going to be faithful and let's go. I have faith, I have hope, I have peace, I have security today. The solution to your security is beholding the face of Jesus, is experiencing his glory. He's inviting you to come and know him in this way. He's saying, no, do you need more? I want you to feel your need for more so you can come. Come, take time. Come, just look at me. And as you do it, there is a strength and a transformation and a renewal in your mind. I'm going to make you new before I do anything in your circumstances. There's hope for your life today, and we're going to have the band come up now. I want to just end now with that challenge. Your sanctification, your victory, the peace that you're walking in, the confidence and assurance that you're walking in the face of all of the things that you've got going on and coming against you, is entirely proportionate to the time that you spend just looking at the face of Jesus and who he is to you. He wants to soften your heart. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to get your mind reordered to see life as you should. And so I want to give us an opportunity, and the band can come up now. If you're here, and maybe you resonate with some of that, where you would just say, I have been looking more to the hand of God than the face of God. I've been looking for circumstantial change instead of seeing his goodness in the middle of my need and insecurity. Jesus, today, if you've called me and you've opened this way where I can know you and see you and be transformed and be filled with this assurance and peace, I want it. Who would with me today say, I need more of that in my life? God is not withholding himself. He's inviting you. So will you draw near in faith? Will you say, Jesus, I look to you. Jesus, show me your face. Help me to see. I'm going to open the word this week. I'm going to spend time in the morning. I'm not going to just go through. It's not about having a Christian worldview. It's about looking to Jesus daily. Like, God, I'm going to wake up tomorrow before I get into the day. Jesus, this is my day. This is all the stuff I'm struggling with. This is all my weakness. This is all my fear. Now, Lord, who are you to this? And now I'm going to just behold your face. And as you do, I'm going to be strengthened. I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to walk in victory. That's what our tomorrow needs to look like. But even tonight, let's take time as we close and just say, Jesus, with what I'm facing, I want to look to your face now. I need more. Like Moses said, I'm hungry. I need, show me your glory. Show me your glory that can change me. Let's close our eyes and you could stay down there. No, you could stay down there. Thank you. Let's close our eyes right now. You are with me, this is a word that speaks to me today, where you would say, tonight going into tomorrow, I want to begin to live not just knowing things about God, not just trying to convince myself he's good because of the things that he's done for me in the past. I want to come and learn how to live beholding his face, live in fellowship with God so that I could be transformed and strengthened. So that the insecurities in my heart can be silenced because I see his goodness to me. If that's where you are and you just say to the Lord, God, teach me this now. Help me to begin to live in this way. Just raise your hand where you are in your seat to the Lord. I want to pray for you and we're going to just sing this song together to close. As I pray, just look to Jesus right now. Just say, Jesus, I'm hungry for you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. I need you today in a new way. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord. I thank you, God, that this verse is a promise to us that we have freedom through your Spirit to come into your presence and be transformed by you daily. It's through faith in who you've promised to be to us. That's how we behold your face. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, come and through the power of your Spirit, open people's eyes to see who you are to them today, to see your love for them, God, to see how you are not frustrated with them being stuck, with them having a hard heart today. You're calling them to yourself so that they can know you in a more real way. You're calling them to an experience of you, God. Lord, teach us how to do this. But right now, as we look to you, Lord, we make room in our hearts. We want to look to you. We want to behold you, God. Show us your glory. Help us to experience the real thing in you, Lord. We thank you for who you are to our need tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a deliverer. You are a provider. You are the one who brings love and peace to our souls. God, we were made for nothing in this world. Nothing in this world can satisfy us. Nothing can bring security, Lord. But in you, we have absolutely everything we need. Help us to not just know that. Help us to look to that and delight in that and trust in that. Fill us today, Lord, with this truth as we look to you. I pray for your transforming power to begin to come and start working in our hearts. We're walking in insecurity where we're living in continual just sin. Thank you that as we look at you, you change us, God. Help us to look to you today, Lord. Let your transforming power begin to come and work through my brothers and sisters here today. Silence all insecurity, all fear, Lord, as they see tonight, you love them. You are with them. You're calling them to trust you in a new way. We love you, Jesus. We need you tonight. And we thank you that we have you, Lord. We thank you that we can do this now. As we look to you, Lord, as we come near in faith, you are working, you're meeting us, you're giving us what we need. Come on, let's all stand up together as we close in this song tonight.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram at sanctusnyc.